from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Penny Nelson. Well, we start today just north of the border with Tijuana at Imperial Beach, where the entire shoreline is closed to swimming. That's because more than 110 million gallons of toxic stormwater have swept over the border from Mexico during the past 2 months. The sewage flow is due in part to the massive rains in Southern California, which overwhelms a federally managed water collection system and results in runoff. The state, plus the cities of Imperial Beach and Chula Vista, have sued the federal government for allowing the situation to continue. Meanwhile, the former manager and caretaker for the man who co-created dozens of iconic superheroes will be in court today. Kia Morgan is charged with elder abuse of Marvel Comics legend Stan Lee, according to the Los Angeles Police Department. He was arrested in Arizona over the weekend and faces extradition to California. Morgan faces allegations that include grand theft, embezzlement, and false imprisonment of Lee, who co-created superheroes like Spider-Man, the Black Panther, and Iron Man. Lee died last November at the age of 95, leaving behind an estate estimated to be worth more than $50 million. Here's LAPD spokesman Mike Lopez.
As a superhero fan myself, and mentioning Stan Lee, you always think of Spider-Man, so you know, it's an unfortunate thing, and it's too bad that this individual took advantage of it. Now, obviously, Mr. Morgan will have his day in court.
And Morgan's attorney says his client denies the charges. Now let's go to Sacramento, where several high-profile bills in the California legislature face a major deadline this week. KQED's politics and government reporter Katie Orr says any legislation that hopes to pass this year has to get out of its house of origin by Friday.
Assembly bills have to be out of the Assembly. Senate bills have to be out of the Senate. And we kind of see a glut of bills right now because while some have been taken up sooner, a lot of them were held up in the Appropriations Committee. A lot of lawmakers like to use as much time as they can to sort of negotiate and make sure they have the votes in place. And so as a result, we get hundreds of bills coming to the floor in a two-week period that must be dealt with before this deadline.
Bills dealing with police use of force, charter schools, preventing rent spikes, and cannabis banking are among those facing the Friday deadline. Meanwhile, San Diego Congressman Duncan Hunter has admitted he took a photo with a dead combatant during his time as a Marine. He made the comments as he advocated for a pardon for a Navy SEAL charged with multiple war crimes, including killing a teenage ISIS fighter in his care and shooting two civilians. This is according to the San Diego Union-Tribune. Prosecutors say the Navy SEAL, Edward Gallagher, took a photo with the dead teenage fighter and sent it in a text. Hunter said, quote, "A lot of us have done the exact same thing," unquote, but that he never texted his photo or posted it to social media. Gallagher's lawyers have said he didn't murder anyone. Napa State Senator Bill Dodd's legislation to create a state wildfire warning center cleared the Senate this past week. It would inform officials about fires using data from a massive network of new weather stations. They're supposed to help PG&E predict when forest fires could happen. But with only around 350 of them right now, there are not enough to get the kind of information firefighters need, especially with California's many microclimates. Kevin Stark is a digital producer with KQED Science.
California has hundreds of thousands of microclimates, which is really fascinating. And one thing we've learned over the last few years with all the wildfires is that we don't have a good understanding of where and how strong the winds are coming over the hills. Like during the North Bay fires, the weather stations down in the valley were saying the winds were actually pretty light, even as hurricane force winds were propelling the forest fire forward in the hills. Same thing happened during the Camp Fire. The weather stations in the valleys were saying the winds were pretty light, and they actually had really, really strong winds that were pushing the fires.
Stark says after devastating wildfires in San Diego back in 2007, San Diego Gas and Electric invested in a network of weather stations that have changed the understanding of how the Santa Ana winds work. People used to think the Santa Anas were fastest in the canyons, but because of weather stations, people now know that the Santa Anas can be over 100 miles per hour coming over the hills and down the slopes. Napa State Senator Bill Dodd says he supports utilities shutting down the power in some areas when fire danger is high due to dry air and strong winds.
We cannot have our utilities creating these massive wildfires and have the associated risk of ratepayers having to pay these costs. You know, the risk associated with another one of these type of fires like the North Bay fires or the Camp Fire makes power shutdowns a viable alternative, sadly.
On Thursday, the California Public Utilities Commission will vote on PG&E's wildfire plan, which includes building about 1,300 weather stations by 2022. Advocates across the United States are decrying a proposed policy from the Trump administration that would make it easier for homeless shelters to discriminate against trans individuals. Meanwhile, San Francisco is leading the nation by opening the only transitional housing shelter program specifically designed for trans youth. KQED's Michelle Wiley reports.
Between the dozens of Victorian homes that line San Francisco's Haight District sits the only long-term transitional living program specifically designed for trans-identified youth in the state. The program opened quietly back in February. Larkin Street Youth Services, which runs the program, says they saw a need to create a trans-specific shelter for youth who may avoid traditional shelters where their gender identity may not be understood or respected.
Oftentimes, they're reluctant to go into a traditional transitional living program or a shelter because, for example, the restrooms may be not gender neutral. So they're forced to choose.
Program Director Matthew Verscher.
In this environment, it creates a gender-neutral space, and they're with peers like themselves who are kind of going through the same exploration that they are.
Currently, the shelter is home to 5 trans-identified youth between the ages of 18 and 24.
My name is Bobby. I'm 23 years old. I was born and raised in California, and I relocated to San Francisco about a year ago.
Bobby grew up in San Jose into a family of 12. Her parents were mostly absent, and when they were there, they were under the influence. Bobby says she was a troubled kid. She didn't graduate high school, started selling drugs, and eventually ended up getting incarcerated. It was in jail that she came out as trans.
And I remember, like, getting beat up for it. And then after that, I kind of was just like, well, I just dealt with this in jail. Who cares now? You know what I mean? I feel like there's no harsher experience for coming out.
After getting out, Bobby moved to San Francisco. Then one night out with friends, she got into a fight and ended up going to jail again. During intake, she told the guards that she was trans, but something different happened this time. She was taken to a section with other trans women.
As time passed, I didn't see them as trans. I saw them as other women. And I was thinking, well, like, now I'm here and I'm with them and this is my family.
Since leaving jail, Bobby has been staying at the shelter in the Haight. She says being in the shelter allows her to relax.
San Francisco itself is so beautiful. Like, if I want to go out for a walk, which is to me sounds funny, but that's something I enjoy doing, you know? So it's learning how to just like live a lifestyle that's, and I feel like there's such a negative connotation with this word, but normal.
And that's the idea behind the shelter, to allow trans youth the space to relax, create connections, and focus on building a new kind of life. Bobby says she's going to look for a job or maybe go back to school. Officials say they're working on bringing in one more person to fill the 6-bed shelter. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, May 28th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life science communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.